to have every one of you here this morning. We thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. And I feel like the Lord has put a word on my heart for this service this morning. And while you are turning to the book of Job, the 23rd chapter, Job chapter 23, I will just share with you, I had the opportunity to visit with a couple this past week and visit with them, and they were kind of sharing their heart with me, and when they finished concluding sharing how they had been feeling and what they had been sensing and in their hearts, the Lord brought back a word that I preached many, many, many years ago. And I just have not been able to get away from that this whole week. And so I feel drawn to this passage of Scripture and feel drawn to what the Lord has put on my heart to share with you today. So Job chapter 23, beginning with verse number 1. However you access the word, read with me this morning. The Bible says, "And then Job answered and said, 'Even today my complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning.'" Another translation says, "His hand is heavy upon me in spite of my groaning." In verse number 3, Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him, and I would fill my mouth with arguments. And I would know the words which he would answer me, and I would understand what he would say to me." Job speculates in verse number 6, and he says, "Will he plead against me with his great power?" And then he answers his own question and says, "No. No, that's not the God that I know. That's not the God that I serve. He wouldn't work against me, but he would put strength in me. There at his seat, at his throne, in his presence, there." Verse number 7, "The righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered from my judge." And then in verse 8, he says, "Behold, I go forward, and he's not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, so that I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his footsteps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." Job says, as a matter of fact, in verse number 12, "I have esteemed his words," or the words of his mouth, "more than my necessary food." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads. There's a bunch to cover. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray together, and let's ask the Lord for his help in both ministering the word and hearing the word that he would speak to us. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, and we gather here in this house. And Lord, we come to honor you and to be touched of your spirit this morning. We thank you for the songs of worship that have been sang and for the praises that have arisen unto you. And we come now to the reading of your word, the ministry of your word. And I readily confess that of my own self, I am incapable. I am inadequate. But if you will touch me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, wow, I feel it already. Thank you. If you'll touch me, Lord, with the anointing of your Holy Spirit and help me to be effective, that the word of God will go forth in liberty and clarity and in power. Touch our hearts. Let Christ Jesus be glorified. Let the people of God in this place be edified, and we will forever give you the praise, forever give you the thanks. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. Now, I must tell you before I get started, I hope you can take me serious. Ruthie gave me this necktie last week, and I just felt honored to wear it this morning. It even sings. But I hope you can take me serious this morning, because the message that the Spirit of the Lord has put upon my heart is a very serious word. I want to speak today on a subject that I have entitled, The Withdrawn Presence of God. The Withdrawn Presence of God. I'll begin by asking you a question this morning. Have you ever prayed and felt like no one heard? Have you ever spent time in prayer and felt like your prayer went no higher than the ceiling above your head? Have you ever felt like the heavens were brass? And you striving to get a hold of God and trying to feel the presence of God in your life, and you just, no matter how hard you cried or how hard you prayed or how long you fasted or how severely you tried to press in to the presence of the Lord, you just simply couldn't get a breakthrough. Have you ever been there? Welcome to the club. I will just tell you this morning that you are not the first individual that has ever felt that way. And if the Lord tarries, you will not be the last. We have all at times experienced moments in our life when we felt that our prayers were ineffective. When we felt as if the heavens were brass. Amen. Many of us sitting right here this morning while we were worshiping, you could feel those Holy Ghost doodads just dancing up and down your spine, right? Well, have you ever been in a place where you didn't feel that any longer? No matter how long you prayed or how long you tried to press in, it just didn't come. I submit to you this morning that there are times when we go through situations such as that. And they are nothing more than a time of testing and a time of trying so that God might find out what we are made of. And oftentimes, I will also submit that we find out ourselves what we are really made of. How many of you know it's really easy to have faith when everything is going well? Yeah, glory to God, it's a good day. Well, let a little trouble hit, and where'd your glory to God go? Hello? Sometimes God brings us through those kind of situations so that he might find out what we are made of and to reveal to us what is really in our hearts. I will tell you right up front this morning that what I intend to preach to you is something that maybe you have not heard, or maybe you have not ever stopped to consider. So I ask for your undivided attention. And I'm going to make a statement of fact as I begin ministering the word. There are times in our Christian experience that God will purposefully withdraw his presence from us so that he might try our hearts. Let me say that again. There are times in our Christian walk that God will purposefully withdraw his presence so that he might try our hearts. And you may be sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, that's not scriptural. What about Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, which says, He will never leave us and never forsake us? What about 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 22, where the Bible says, For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. What about Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 28, where the Bible says that the Lord loves judgment and he will not forsake his saints, that they will be preserved forever? What about Psalms 139, verse 7 through verse 10, where the psalmist said, Whither shall I go to escape from your spirit? Whether shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, behold, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there too. He said, if I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there you will find me. How many of you know the Bible says all of those things? Pastor Gary, your statement can't be scriptural. What about our new covenant promise where Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 20, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. How many of you know it says that? So how in the world can your statement be true? Are not all of these verses truth? And indeed, I will tell you this morning that every one of them are truth. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. And yet, there are times that God will withdraw his presence from us to test and try our hearts. Do you have scripture to back that up? I'm glad you ask. See, what we need to understand are two things. Number one, we need to understand that all of the verses that I've just shared with you are talking about the omnipresence of God. What does that mean? Omnipresence of God means that his physical presence fills the universe. There is no place where you can go that you will not encounter the presence of God, because his spirit fills the entire universe. That's why the psalmist could say, If I ascend to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take to the wings of the morning and fly away, no matter where I go, you're going to be there. Because the omnipresence of God is always going to be there. But the second thing that we need to understand is that, and what I want to get across to you this morning, is that there are times that God will withdraw his conscious presence, not his physical presence, but his conscious presence from us. And we become unaware. We become uncertain. We become unaware of his presence, meaning that we cannot sense or we cannot feel his presence. When I say that there are times that God withdraws his presence from us, I do not mean that he withdraws his physical presence from us, because he has promised to always be at our side. But there are going to be times when we are not able to sense the manifestation of his presence, and the manifestation of his presence becomes limited to our senses. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? Yes, he is always going to physically, because he's omnipresent, he's always going to be there. But there are going to come some times in our Christian experience that we don't always sense him right by our side. Let me give you some scripture. Need an example? How about Jesus hanging on the cross?
And the Bible said when it came close to 3 o'clock and Christ was about to give up the ghost and die, he cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did God really forsake him? No. But he could not sense the presence of God. He could not feel the presence of God. God had withdrawn his conscious presence. Did God vacate Golgotha, the hilltop, that day when Christ was crucified? No, he did not vacate that hilltop. But what happened was Jesus became unaware of the conscious presence of his Father. Let me give you some scriptures to consider the other side of the coin. Psalms chapter 69 and verse number 16. The psalmist said, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not your face from me. Hide not your face from thy servant, because I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem me and deliver me because of my enemies. What the psalmist was saying was that it seemed that God was distant from him. He says, hide not your face from me. Draw near to me. Does that sound like a man that felt like God was right beside him? No, it sounds like a man that was saying, where in the world are you? I need you. I need you to draw nigh to me. I need you to come and hear me speedily, because I'm in trouble. And I need some help. How many ever needed some help? Amen. The psalmist says, don't hide from me. Hide not your face from me. Have you ever felt like you prayed and you felt like the Lord was playing hide and go seek? Hello? You're searching and looking and you're quoting scripture. Lord, you said the day that I seek you with all my heart, I'll find you. And Lord, I'm seeking you with all my heart and I'm coming up empty. I've been there. And if you're honest with yourself, you've been there too. Let me give you some more scripture to consider. Psalms 14 or 143, verse number 7. The psalmist said, hear me speedily. O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not from me. Hide not from me, lest I be like them that go down in the pit. That sounds like somebody that's in a desperate situation. He's on a slippery slope headed down, and he's saying, I need some help. Don't hide from me, God. Psalms 13 and verse number 1, the psalmist said, how long will you forget me? Somebody said, I didn't know them verses were in the Bible. How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide yourself from me? Psalms 10 and 1, the psalmist said, why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in my time of trouble? Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 7, the Bible said, and there is none that calleth upon the name of the Lord that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for you have hid your face from us. I want you to turn this morning to 2 Chronicles. I want to read this one together with you. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I want you to go to the 31st verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse number 31. Let me give you the context of this particular verse. This verse is talking about King Hezekiah. If you read that 32nd chapter, you will read that King Hezekiah was blessed, 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 blessed. And he was arrogant, 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 arrogant. He was conceited. He was prideful. He thought that he was a man of God. God loved him. He loved God, but he was prideful. God blessed him, but he thought it was him and not the blessing of God. Go to chapter 32, 2 Chronicles 32, 31. And there was a moment in time, if you read that 32nd chapter, there was a moment in time that God did something wonderful in the land. The Bible just says, the Bible calls it a marvelous sign. God did something spectacular, so spectacular that the princes of Babylon sent ambassadors to Hezekiah to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land. Now, look at verse 31. And it says, howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto Hezekiah, unto him, to inquire of him, or inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. Look at the last line. It says, God left him. I don't know what translation you're reading, but what does it say in yours? God left him. Why? To try him, that he might know, that God might know, that Hezekiah might know, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, I point that out to you this morning because I want to key in on those words that God left him. What the scripture is saying is that God withdrew his conscious presence from Hezekiah, and Hezekiah became unaware of the presence of God. He could not sense the presence of God because what was in his heart was arrogance and pride, and God wanted to reveal it to him. And that's exactly what happened to Job in our verses this morning. The physical presence of God never left Job, but Job became unaware of the presence of God. Let me refresh your memory this morning to just share with you what brought Job to this point. The point of our text. If you were to begin reading in the first chapter of the book of Job, you would find out that Job was a very blessed man. The Bible says that he was the greatest in all of the greatest man in all of the East. The Bible tells us of his great substance. And he didn't have a large bank account at First Interstate or Wells Fargo. No, in those days they counted wealth as herds and flocks and sheep and all of that kind of thing. And Job's estimated wealth in our day would be well over $1 million. He was a very wealthy man. And the scripture says he had great herds and herds of camel and herds of sheep. And the scripture said in chapter 1, verse number 3, that he was the greatest man in all of the East. But we know of Job's trial. We know of Job's trouble. In verse number 13, the Bible says, and there was a day. Chapter 1, verse number 13 of the book of Job. And there was a day. And I'm going to tell you right up front, it wasn't a very pleasant day. In one day, the Bible said in verse 14 of that first chapter that a messenger came to Job and said that the ox were plowing in the field and the Sebans fell upon them, another warring tribe, fell upon them and they took them away and they slew all of the servants with the edge of the sword. They stole all of the oxen and the servants said, they killed all of your servants and I am the only one that escaped, so that I could come and tell you. And the Bible says, and while he yet spake, another servant showed up and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and consumed the servants. And I'm the only one that has escaped, so I can tell you. How many of you know that would be a pretty bad day all on its own? But again, the scripture says, and while that servant yet spake, another servant shows up and says, the Chaldeans came and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, and they have slain your servants with the edge of the sword, and all of the camels are gone, and all of the servants are dead, and I'm the only one that got away. And again, the Bible says, and while he yet spake, in one day, how many of you think you've had a bad day? Hello? And while he yet spake, another servant came and said, Job, your sons, you have seven sons and three daughters, your sons and your daughters were all in the eldest son's house, and there came a great wind from heaven and smote the four corners of the house, and the house collapsed. And I don't know how to tell you this, but all of your children are dead, and all of your servants that were in the house, they're all dead. And I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. Now, maybe you know, Job had his wealth consumed and taken from him. He had his most precious, valuable possession, his children taken from him. And yet, in all of that, Job did not curse God, did not turn his back upon God. He did not blame God, but the adversity wasn't over there. If you continue reading in that first chapter, Job was smitten with sickness. The Bible said that great boils came upon his body from his head to the sole of his feet. So bad they were that it was crippling unto him, and all he could do was lay in a pot of ashes. His wife walked by and looked at him and said, "You are so pitiful. Why don't you just curse God and die?" And you know what Job said? "You speak like a foolish woman. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him." Amen. Job, in all of that, he never turned his back on God, but he sure wanted to find God. Hello? How many of you have ever faced trouble and trial and situation in your life where you said to yourself, "God, where in the world are you? All of this calamity coming about in my life, all of this hurt and all of these trials and all of these situations, it makes me wonder where you are." We've all been there. Our text is a portion of scripture that reveals to us what Job did do. He turned to searching for God. In verse number 3 of our texts, he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Job, no doubt, was thinking to himself, "I remember the days when I was blessed and didn't have a care in the world. And I remember the days when my children were financially blessed and they were prosperous and God was doing good things in their life. And I remember when the flocks and the herds just kept increasing and the blessing of God just kept overcoming and coming at me. And all I had was good stuff in my life. But wait, where in the world are you now? Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Because God, I know you said you would never leave us and never forsake us. And I know that you said you would be with us always, even to the end of the world. And I know you would say you would never forsake us. But why have you hid your face from me? Why have you left me? Why have you withdrawn your conscious presence from my life? And I no longer feel any kind of a certainty. I no longer feel any kind of assurance of the Spirit. I no longer feel your presence in my life. Where have you gone? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. He goes on in verse 4. He says, because if I could just find him, I would order my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. In other words, if I could just find God, I would give him an earful. I would order my cause. I would lay out my case. I would let God know I don't deserve this kind of treatment. Hello? I would order my cause before him, and I would fill my mouth with arguments. Bless God, Job was saying, I would set the record straight. How many of you ever felt like Job? Going through a trial in your life, going through a situation in your life, going through turmoil in your life, and you've endeavored to live for the Lord, and you have tried to do that which was right in the sight of God, and you had striven to be a holy individual, and you had striven to live a godly life, and then you find yourself going through literal hell, and you say, God, where in the world are you in all of this mess? If I could just find God, if I could just go before him, I would order my cause before him. Amen. God would understand that this is unjust and this is not fair. How many of you know this morning that life is not fair? Job says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would order my cause. I would order my cause before him. And then he says, and I know the words that he would say to me. I know I'm right, and I know he would know I'm right. Hello? If I could just get to God and explain my side of the story, he would know I'm right, and he would do something about it. I would order my cause before him, and I would know the words that he would answer me, and I would understand what he would say to me, Job says. And Job is saying, amen, I just want an opportunity to tell God my side of the story. He says, will he plead with me? In other words, will God toy with me? Would he not hear my case, a just God? Would he not hear my plight and be merciful? Would he not hear my cause and understand? Would he work against me? No, he says, but he would strengthen me. He would help me. That's our mentality. If I could just get a hold of God, I know that God would help me. I know that God would hear my cry. I know that God would see my situation, and I know that he would have mercy upon me, but I just can't find him. I cannot sense the manifestation of his presence in my life. But Job comes to verse number 8, and he says, but behold, I have gone forward, and he's not there. So instead of me trying to press ahead, I got to thinking, maybe I left him behind somewhere. And so I went backward. But I cannot perceive him. I've been to the left hand. And I turned to the right. But I cannot find him. What Job was saying is, if I just knew where I could find him, he would help me. If I could just find him, he would be just to my cause, and he would strengthen me. But he says, I've gone forward, and I've gone back, and I've gone to the left, and I've gone to the right, and I just can't seem to find God. I see him working in other people's lives. How many of you look around, even the congregation, and you have said to God, I see you working in so-and-so's life, and I see you blessing other people, but Lord, where's mine? Anybody? Some of you sitting here this morning, amen, this word is penetrating your spirit. I'm going to give you some good news in just a minute. Amen. But there are times when God does not withdraw his physical presence, but he withdraws his conscious presence. And Job is in that situation and he says, I've been forward and I've been back and I've looked left and I've looked right and I looked up and I looked down and I've been inside and out and I've been trying to find, amen, the presence of God, but I just can't find him. So the text this morning brings us, it forces us to ask the question, what do you do when you cannot find God? What do you do when you are walking in a situation where the withdrawn presence of God is not as prevalent in your life as it once was? What do you do if you slip on Job's slippers and you walk a mile in his shoes? What do you do when you are walking through a trial in your life and you feel like you have been abandoned? What do you do? Well, let me share with you what Job tells us to do. Number one, we don't get discouraged and give up. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by what we feel. We walk by faith. What brings faith? The Word of God. We walk according to the Word of God. What do you do this morning when you cannot sense the conscious presence of God? Job says, this is what I'm going to do in verse number 10. He says, I may not be able to feel God. I may not be able to find God. I may have went forward and I may have went back and I may have looked to the left and I may have looked to the right and I may not sense his presence in my life, but he knows the way that I take. That's a powerful statement, beloved. He knows the way that I take. In other words, I may not be able to sense his presence like I desire, but he knows the path that I'm on. He knows that I'm walking in his ways and walking in his commandments. And he knows that I have not deviated from his path. He knows the way that I take. I'm going to tell you this morning, the first thing that we all need to do when we are being tried and our faith is being tested, the first thing that we need to do is be faithful unto God. I'm going to tell you this morning, church, that if we will just simply be faithful unto the Lord and keep our hand in his hand, he will eventually bring us out on the other side of the trial and on the other side of the storm, shouting victory and having some glory back in our life. Job said, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to acknowledge that God knows the path that I'm on. I have not forsaken his commandments. I have not forsaken his way. In other words, what Job was saying is I haven't thrown in the towel. It may look rough and the enemy may have knocked me down, but I am still on my feet standing and I'm still going forward and my faith is still anchored in God. Yeah. And then he says, and when he has tried me, this is just a test. I'm telling my age. But I remember when the, you know, on the television, they would throw up this little thing and they would have this, and then the announcer would come on and go, this is just a test. I don't even know if they do that anymore. Somebody back there went, yeah, they do. All right, praise God. Amen. I'm just telling you, Job said, this is just a test. It's just a test. I'm not going to fail the test. Hello? He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, when this test is over, when this trial is over, when this situation is over, amen, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When this test is over, when this trial is over, hey, I'm going to come out the other side, blessed of my God. He says, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. Verse 11, he said, my foot has held his steps, and his way have I kept and not declined. In other words, my footsteps are still in a righteous path. And his way have I kept, and I have not declined on his commandment. I haven't turned my back upon God. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed his word, amen, more than my necessary food. I want to tell you something this morning, that when we are faced with a trial and we are faced with a test and we feel like we have been abandoned, what we need to do is keep our faith anchored in the Most High, and keep our faith anchored in the rock of ages. And when God gets through trying our hearts, amen, and God gets through, amen, bringing us through the trial, we'll come out on the other side victorious because of the power of our God. Hallelujah. Sometimes as we are walking this Christian walk, God's physical presence never leaves us. He never goes back on his covenant promise. And he never forsakes us. But there are times when we are walking this Christian walk and we are unaware, unconscious of the presence of God. We do not feel him as we once felt him. You are not the first to ever experience that. You will not be the last. If you're here this morning and you have never gone through such a situation as this, I assure you those kinds of battles await you, because they come to try us all. But what do we do when we feel like the Spirit of the Lord has been withdrawn from us? I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to prayer. Faithful to the Word of God. Amen. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about living a godly life. I'm talking about keeping our faith anchored in the Lord. Keeping our faith anchored in the Lord. And I want you to consider this morning the end of Job. If you were to read chapter 42, I mean, Job goes through all kinds of doubts and fears and uncertainties, and he goes through physical pain and emotional pain, and he's got scarring in his heart, emotional scars from losing his children, losing his wealth, and sickness in his body. But he said, the Lord knows the way I take. I may not sense him, I may not feel him, but I'm going to keep my feet in his path. And you know what happened? Chapter 42, the Bible said that there came a day when God began to restore Job. And God gave him twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning. God doubled his herds. God doubled his flocks. God gave him double for his trouble. Hello? I'm going to tell you something this morning. You cannot go through a trial and not come out on the other side enhanced in some way. You hear what I'm saying? God will see to it that you are blessed in the end. God restored his children. God gave him 10 sons and 3 daughters. And his blessing and his inheritance was so great that the Bible even says that the girls got an inheritance. In those days, the girls usually didn't get an inheritance. But he was so wealthy and so blessed, he not only blessed his 7 sons, but he was able to bless his 3 daughters. I'm telling you this morning, you may go through some hell and you may go through some high water and you may wonder where God is, but just keep your faith in God and he'll bring you out on the other side with a blessing. What do you do when you can't sense the presence of the Lord? You be faithful. You be faithful. You don't throw in the towel. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't turn around. You don't go back. Amen. You need to have the faith of Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I may face some hard decisions. I may face some hard trials. I may face some hard situations, but my faith is in God. And though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Some of you this morning, I feel like I'm speaking directly to some hearts this morning. Some of you this morning are right where Job was. You are going through some situations in your life, going through some circumstances in your life, and you have been wondering, God, where are you? Understand. His physical presence never leaves. But there are some times that his conscious presence is withdrawn from us and we become unaware of his presence. And he only does it so that he might try our hearts to find out what's in our spirit. Come out this morning on the other side of your trial, being faithful, keeping your foot in his path, declining not from his word. Esteem his word in your spirit more than your necessary food. Follow the example of Job, and you'll come out on the other end with Job's blessing. Bow your heads, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am thankful this morning for the anointing of your Holy Spirit that I have sensed as we have ministered this word today. I am grateful, O God, that you never physically leave us and you never physically forsake us. And I would pray this morning, Lord, that when we are tried in times of testing and in times of trial, and we are no longer aware of your conscious presence, and we feel like we are alone, I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would impress upon our spirit the necessity of a faithful walk with you. Because the scripture has declared, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Because you are faithful who has promised. There are some this morning, Heavenly Father, that feel just like Job. They feel as though they are Job. I pray that this word would bring some enlightenment into their spirit. I pray that it would bring some resolve into their heart to continue to be faithful. And Father, I pray that when you bring them out on the other side of these circumstances and the other side of these situations, that Lord, you will put a song of victory in their lips and bless them double for their trouble. And I ask these things in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed as they begin to just play softly. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you be willing this morning to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, you preached this message just for me today? Yeah, I see your hand. God sees your hand. Yes, yes,
Yes. Amen. Let me just tell you right now, inspired of the Holy Spirit, I speak. It ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over until God says it's over. Don't lose faith. Don't lose heart. Be faithful unto the Lord. Stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, every hand that has been lifted, I pray, Father God, that you would bind the work of the enemy and that you would loose the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about answers and strength and light and peace and joy into the hearts of these, your people. I pray, oh God, that you bring them out on the other side of the trials and the circumstances with a testimony of your grace and your power. In the mighty and awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Go ahead.